Today on Real Life Radio.
For you and I to suffer, it's a gift from God. And all the Bible studies that you've been to and all the stuff that you've learned, God wants to prevent you from being just a theologian. He wants you to take what you've learned and now apply it.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, let me tell you about our current featured resource. It's a book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. A lot of us long for a deeper relationship with God. Packer really helps us to understand that once you dive into the nature and character of God, you'll begin to feel the freedom that you've longed for. So pick up your copy of Knowing God for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called How to Get Rich Quick Part 1 begins in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verses 10 through 13. Now, in these four verses, the Apostle Paul shares with us on how to be content in every circumstance we face in this life. True riches come from Christ and what He did on the cross to give us salvation. He is our reason to rejoice in all things, knowing that our names are written in the book of life. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that as Christians, our suffering is really for a purpose. Paul accepted others' neglectfulness as a lesson learned in following Christ. And we can be certain that whether we're in a season of plenty or a place of suffering, God loves us, and He wants us to lean on Him. And now, continuing his lesson called How to Get Rich Quick, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And look, if you don't have anything, maybe you got a bottle of water in your car. Say, I don't have much, but I've got this water. Listen, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. What's your name? Mike? Mike, I'll be praying for you. Here's some water. Here's $3. See, we look at things like, it's only $3. Well, I'm not going to give him $3 because our pride gets in the way and says, now if I had $10, I'd give it to him. But $3, that's kind of like, what a joke. No, if you had $10, you'd say, it's $10. I'm not going to give it to him. Do you know what I'm saying? What's going on with us? Listen, when we're in need, when we ourselves are in need, we know what it's like to be reached out to. And the thing about the Christian faith is that we are to remember how much we are always in need. See, it doesn't matter if you're rich or not. You're in great need. It doesn't matter how poor you are or not. You're in great need. Because this whole epic moment that Paul is sharing with us is a matter of the heart. You want to get rich quick? It's not having some grand deposit placed in your bank or winning the lottery. It's having a heart change where something happens in your soul where you begin to understand that, number one, this world is full of suffering, but God is good. And the fact that Christians are not exempt from suffering. I'll go so much to say is that Christians are ordained by God to suffer. You say, well, thank you, Pastor. I was just going to sign up today and now I'm not. Let me make it clear. Everyone's going to suffer, Christian or not. When you're not a Christian, that suffering hopefully will get you to look up and cry out to God. But I'm talking to the Christian today. The Christian is not exempt from suffering. In fact, according to the Bible, again next week, it's a badge of honor. It is a badge of honor in the verbiage used in the Greek language to the church in various books of the Bible. It is this. The word grace is used regarding suffering. It is a gift to the believer. You say, are you kidding me? Can you imagine going underneath your Christmas tree and pulling out a box and it's got your name on it and you open it up and it says grief? You unwrap it and it says cancer. You say, no, wait, Jack, you've gone too far. Wait a minute. How big is God? Who is He? What does He say? Does cancer dethrone God? Does your financial collapse dethrone God? Does something render Him impotent to help you? Has he now lost power? Absolutely not. Christians suffer with a purpose. And listen, Here's the deal. You can write books and you can write commentaries and you can have multiple doctorates and all these things. I'm not knocking it. But you got to leave your office and be among God's people. Because number one, it keeps your feet on earth. Number two, you realize something. All the theoretical Christianese is only that until you see it lived out. You'll see no power in the ivory tower of study. I'm not disparaging study. We have got to study. But if that's the only thing you do and you do not go out to those streets, you'll never see the power of what you've studied in action. I know you think, I say this time and time again, I know you might think I'm trying to bamboozle you or trying to coerce you into something, and I am not. I can tell you right now, and it's in line with what Paul is saying, the Philippian believers didn't just talk about it, they did it. And when they did it, they saw the power of God. And even if one person at the church in Philippi had a dollar and the other one had $1,000, they all got together and made things happen. In the name of Christ, 2,000 years later, and we are reading here in the 21st century about a group, a church that loved in action. Isn't it amazing? That's the kind of legacy that if Jesus doesn't come back today, that we leave to our kids and grandkids. The hours for us to shine like never before, find a need, the opportunities are there. They've been supplied by God. We miss them because we're not looking for them. And then when we do see them, we're immediately confronted with, I can't get involved. We cut ourselves right out of the wonderful equation. You say, I don't have the power. Skip ahead just for fun. Look down at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is what it applies to. This is what, not the golf game, not the deal. Oh God. How can I help them? I don't know how to help them. I don't have the resources to help them. Oh God. And God says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But what can I, in such a church so big, what can one person? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You see a need? Meet it. Because it's ordained by God for you to see it. And he wants you to act on it. He's powerful that way. He's good that way. And then look at verse 11. How to get rich quick, look for the God-ordained opportunities around you. These things are not only supplied by God, but they're designed by God, and it's through you. You say, well, why doesn't God just do something about it? Isn't that funny? Lord, that's an injustice. What a terrible thing that is. Do you understand as a believer? I'm only talking to Christians today. The Christian sees it, and God says, he taps you on the shoulder, and he says, I'm gonna meet that need through you. I'll supply. But I'm going to do it through you. It's designed for you. Custom built. Tailor-made, we would say. For you. Not for someone else. He says, listen. Paul says to them, not that I speak in regard to need. This is amazing. He lays down three incredible things. Number one, I have learned. Circle the word learned. In whatever. Circle the word whatever. State I'm in. To be content. Circle the word content. This is kind of fun because you know what Paul does? He uses several words here that are native to pagan cults of his day. Pagan cults. And I think you're going to find this kind of acceptable in our culture. First of all, you see the word I have learned? The word learned is I have learned over time. The word means I've got this in my skin now. It's something that over time I know is absolutely true. The word means you can't dislodge Paul from what he's learned. Do you know anything? You, having studied, you know absolutely certain it is absolutely true. If you're in science, for example, I'm not talking theoretical science, just like I'm not talking theoretical Christianity. I'm talking real. Did you know evolution's a theory still? Did you know that? Let's remember that. But physics, that's real. There are laws of science. Those are real. They're reproducible. You can bank on them. You know it's true. Nothing can budge your opinion from that. You've been fully brought beyond. We would say, well, I've been convinced. That even sounds flimsy. It's beyond convinced. You're absolutely certain. You know it more. Listen, this Ancestry.com stuff, you know, you go online, you find your family. If you want to find them. I'm trying to get away from them, I think. But, you know, you try to find your roots. And you know, if you start digging around, I don't know if you're going to like what you find. Now, somebody here on staff, they went digging around, and they wound up finding out that they're related to John Adams and somebody on the Mayflower, and that was like his cousin. This guy went over here, and that guy, and he knew this person, and lo and behold, and I'm thinking, what are you working here for then if you got that lineage? And I'm thinking, man, if I trace my roots back, what am I going to find? Here's the deal. The fact of the matter is that as I look at my past, as I look at my existence, whatever it may be, God wants to transform our lives if we are paupers or if we're blue bloods. He wants to do something absolutely amazing. And Paul is saying, what I've learned is unshakable. You can study your history as a family and you may not be sure. It gets kind of vague. But listen, you ought to know, according to the Bible, that you are truly a child of the living God. The Bible says you're to know that. I understand the feeling. You and I feel unworthy. You and I feel like we fail him. I get that. We all feel that way. The only reason why you can feel that way is because you're in the family. You know him. The Bible says these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. I am more certain about me being born again than who I'm related to, because God says so. Paul says, I've learned this. Number two, it's whatever state I'm in, even California. Whatever state, whatever situation, whatever condition you're in. So listen, is it cancer? Is it a broken relationship? Is the marriage on the brink? Is it over? Is it relational with kids, family? What is it? Is it financial with work? What is it? Whatever it is, whatever, any, all, absolute station or situation. And then the word content, Paul says, to be content. Now you might look and say, Jack, this is the Bible. What else is he supposed to say? Excuse me, this is the Bible. The Bible is authored by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit possessed the Apostle Paul. Watch, number one, working this stuff out in his life for decades. Just like he's doing it in your life. Because don't we want things to happen overnight? Of course we do. God doesn't work that way. It's a process of God working out in this world, because you are sanctified in heaven. God's working out your practical sanctification here on earth among us. Me with you, you with me. Living with each other. Learning to love. Learning to deal. Learning to cope. Learning to lean on God. And Paul says, I'm content. The Holy Spirit grabbed him and authored what you're reading right here in your scripture. And this is incredible, because God, who authored the Bible, cannot lie. That's why you cannot find contradictions in the Bible. That's why you cannot find an error in the scripture. God cannot lie.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
So watch this. God grabs Paul, transforms his life in an instant by putting the kingdom in his heart. He's born again of the Spirit of God, and now he begins to live his life. And all along the way, Paul has the same Old Testament promises that you and I have. But are they true? He had to learn that. So do you and I. Let's be honest. We think, well, you know what? I guess I'm supposed to trust. You know, Christians just trust. Listen, that's not how you approach it. God is so wonderful. He says, trust me. And watch. He will give you life. Hello, listen. Are you listening? He will give you the opportunity to live life. So that as you go through it, he'll tap you on the shoulder and then say to you, I told you could trust me. Do you know what I'm talking about? You just got to go out there and live it. And he'll say, hey, remember that verse? Told you. Because he can't lie. He's God. And Paul says, yeah, I've learned how to be content in any situation. You say, well, he didn't have cancer. Or he didn't have my problems. Well, let's look at some of his problems. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Well, I'll probably have to end here because it's huge. 2 Corinthians 11. By the way, think about this. Look in the screens. Is this a resume for the pastor that you'd like to hire? Paul is defending himself because he's being attacked by the legalists. They're saying, he's not real. Look at him. His life, he's a joke. He's not very good looking for one thing. He's a little puny guy. And when he speaks, it sounds like somebody's dragging their fingernails across the chalkboard. We, on the other hand, we're great orators. We are the polished ones. And he was confronting the Judaizers. They believed that to be born again was to trust in Jesus, but to also keep elements of the law. Then you would be super saved. Stay away from people who invite you to be super saved. It's always turned out to be a small cult group that will mess you up. Are they servants of Christ? He's being sarcastic. I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, put in prison more often. Can you imagine your pastor being, hey, we're going to hire this guy. Why? He's been in prison more than any other pastor we know. Been whipped times without number and faced death again and again. Verse 24, 5 different times the Jewish leaders, the hierarchy, gave me 39 slashes or lashes. That's cat of nine tails, ripping him open. 3 times I was beaten with rods, you know, caning, like they do in the Philippines and certain Asian countries, getting whipped with bamboo. By the way, it's normally from the buttocks, by the waist, down on the rear end to the back of the knees. I was stoned once, not on drugs. This is not a verse for California. This is rocks. These are rocks. He was thrown rocks. In fact, we believe from other portions of scripture that it was that stoning where he actually died and God revived him. We can talk about that some other day. But I believe in that stoning once he's referring to, he actually died. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Okay, stop right there for a second. I can understand being shipwrecked once. Would you get on a ship again? Imagine today. 3 times I survived airplane crashes. Are you going to get on another plane? Paul would probably say, not for vacation, but I would just share the gospel. If God got me on the plane, I'd go share the gospel. Can you imagine, honestly, come on, let's not deify these guys. Paul got on the boat a second time. Do you think he was thinking about the whole trip, especially when it got stormy? Oh, man, I know how this goes. Listen, look at all the stuff you and I avoid because we know what it's like. When the doctor says, Jack, this is going to be a little uncomfortable. That means you're going to scream for your mama and it's going to hurt so bad. Whenever they say a little uncomfortable, it's not good news. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea, floating on a board. He's just bobbing up and down in the Mediterranean. The apostle of God who met Jesus on the Damascus Road. Ladies and gentlemen, these bozos you see on TV, send me your money. God wants me rich. And he wants you rich if you send me your money. I'm not an Einstein or anything, but that math doesn't work. I'm supposed to send him my money and I'm get rich? Why doesn't he send me his money so I can get rich? Take a $100 bill. Take a $100 bill, they say. Take a $100 bill and tear out the little portion, the little edge. And you hold that part and you send me the big part. No, I'm really, you can watch it and send me the big part. And you watch by faith, that corner will grow into a mighty, mighty savings account. No. If you're the great instructor, I'll tear off the little portion. I'll send you the little speck and I'll hang on to the big part. And then you can fund your ministry. You just plant that little edge in the ground and you can fund your ministry. Stop begging for money. It's disgusting. Listen, any non-Christians in here, I'm with you. Looks like God's broke. How can God save you when he's broke? You listen to these people. You got to send your money to this ministry going off the air. Let it go. Didn't Elsa say that? Let it go. It's ridiculous. Unbelievable. This is Paul. I'm floating around in the ocean. And never once do you record, you see him saying, God, why'd you pick me to do this? He never complains. He's not complaining even in this, in 2 Corinthians 11. He's encouraging us. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger, watch this, from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles, all non-Jews. Man, where do you go? The Jews hate him and the non-Jews hate him. I have faced danger in the cities and in the deserts and on the seas. I have faced dangers from men who claim to be believers, that hurts, and are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, if that weren't enough, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches that he had started. This is the apostle. What am I saying to you, Christians? For you and I to suffer, it's a gift from God. Because listen, you can only go this far. Christian, listen, if you're a Christian today, you can only go this far with God. And then something's gonna go on in life, because it happens in life, believer or non-believer. Something happens in life. And all the Bible studies that you've been to and all the stuff that you've learned, God wants to prevent you from being just a theologian. He wants you to take what you've learned and now apply it to this trauma. Why would he do that? Listen. Because he absolutely loves you and he's preparing you for heaven. That doesn't sound like heaven to me. We're not there yet. Listen, somehow in eternity, I don't know how it works, he's building character that will somehow translate in your life into your existence in heaven. Don't ask me how. I don't get it myself. But what you and I suffer as a believer in leaning on the word of God and knowing that in suffering, it is the grace of God that because just as Christ suffered, we are to suffer also. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead and the glory that was his, so by suffering, the same glory shall be ours. You say, well, I want the glory. Then let's go. And as we go, serving him, doing him, all around the world announcing him, being him to a lost world. That amazing grace and power and contentment will be ours. We'll be absolutely satisfied because as this happens, we can only go to this point. From here on out, it can only be put in us by suffering, hardship, difficulty, and sufferings. And I know the temptation to say, well, I'm not gonna come next week. I'll come a few weeks after that. I don't wanna hear about this. Listen, you're going to suffer. And I wanna make sure that you have enough bullets in your chamber or enough tools in your box. When it comes, and it's coming. I said, don't say that. My mom growing up, all her pagan gods of the Polynesians, it's crazy. Don't say that, because if you say it, it's gonna happen. That's how I grew up. No, it's not how it works. God is not voodoo. It's all gonna happen. So Jesus Christ could say to you and I at any given time, you're gonna open up that envelope and a course is gonna begin, a journey. The whole thing is in my hands. I'm organizing this. Because you're mine, I'm gonna be working in multiple facets. Number one, I'm gonna work in you a work that you can't get from any university, seminary, or from the school of hard knocks. I'm doing this in you. And in the day of eternity, it's going to really benefit you. You'll be happy. You will say in that day, thank you for it, God. And as I use you, people are gonna be affected. Some people like Billy Graham preach behind pulpits for decades. Other people preach in a hospital room. Other people preach in rehab. Other people, as the world watches, they're watching your financial collapse and you're okay. Because you've learned that in whatever situation you're in, to be content.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called How to Get Rich Quick, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today, and our hope is that you allow God to build in you a Christ-like character in the midst of your suffering. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. It's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to know God. For 50 years, J.I. Packer has been helping people realize the difference with his excellent book, Knowing God. delving into the characteristics of a God who intimately knows his people and invites us to know him as well, this timeless masterpiece takes readers on a transformative journey, exploring the depths of God's character, his love, and his will for our lives. If you've ever wished for a deeper understanding of who God is and how to have a closer relationship with him, this book's for you.
This book walked me through, as a new believer, the things that I needed to know about hearing about the voice of God.
For a limited time, Real Life Ministries is offering this exceptional book in thanks for your generous donation. Your gift will be used to proclaim the truth of God's word to your community and the world, helping people move from knowing about God to knowing God for themselves. Knowing God by J.I. Packer can be yours for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.